Starting now, Dr. Perramo.
Thank you, Mr. President. In addition to the special recognitions this evening, I would like to introduce the Colony Middle School music teacher, Mr. Toby Lambert, and he came before us in the past and requested travel to Trinidad, and it was requested by the board at that time to please be sure to give us an update. So, in the next 5 minutes, please enjoy Mr. Lambert, his report about how it went in Trinidad and what we were able to do for kids.
Well, good evening, school board. My name is Toby Lambert. I'm the music teacher at Colony Middle School. I'd like to thank you for letting me come in front of you. I just had a brief report. Our trip to Trinidad, as many of you got to see our presentation in the spring, many of those students are still performing with the group, and if you came to the state fair at our performance, you saw a very large steel drum band actually get to perform, made up of what is now Colony High School students, pretty much, and actually our Sioux Valley students came on down and performed with us as well. Along with that, I've been in the process of trying to recreate the trip again for January 25th through the 31st of 2013. And as part of what's required, I guess, understanding from the school district is that I'm supposed to come in front of the board and ask for your good grace to try this trip again. We are looking to go back to Trinidad to continue our exchange with the International School of Port of Spain down there and to continue on going to the Pam Aram Festival, visiting Pan Yards, visiting the University of West Indies at their Steel Drum Engineering Department with Dr. Coughlin, and trying to also expand it a little bit more this time by spending a little bit more time on Tobago, learning a little bit more about the natural resources and the natural development of the island, and also going to be visiting one of the bird sanctuaries in the island, which is kind of a unique experience if you've never been there. It's definitely interesting to get to see wildlife. We're also looking at trying to redo something that we were not able to do the last time, which was actually go visit a pan factory and actually try to construct a steel drum with hammers. The last time we had a little weather problem. It was pouring rain, and the person who was supposed to bring the supplies down from the hillside got stuck in a mudslide. So we weren't able to complete that, but we're looking at going back again, so I'm asking the board for their accepting this proposal to go back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This takes us down to item four, and it's persons to be heard on non-agenda items. The speakers specifically under this agenda item, persons to be heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room clear if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. It's maximum 1 hour per meeting. This is our first session. There will be another one towards the end of the meeting. At this point, are there any folks signed up to speak before the board?
Lori Miner.
Please come forward. State your name for the record.
Good evening. Lori Miner, CEA President. Members of the board and audience, today is National ESP Day. Educational Support Professional Day. I'd like to take an opportunity to share with you some information about our ESPs. November 16th is ESP Day, Educational Support Professional Day. It was first celebrated in 1987 after NEA, National Education Association, Representative Assembly, called for the creation of a way to honor the contribution of school support staff. In 2003, Karen Morhane, the president of the NEA National Council of Educational Support Professionals, who also happens to be a former support staff of Kenai Peninsula as a president, led a successful campaign to the NEA Representative Assembly to change the ESP formal name from Educational Support Personnel to Educational Support Professionals. The name change to Professionals acknowledges a major contribution of ESPs to the children and public education every day. Morhane was a secretary with 22 years of experience. Her quote, "We impact the lives of children every day in our own special way and professionalism." The name reflects a growing pride in the value roles ESP play throughout America's public schools. Today's support professionals provide an invaluable service that enables students to learn in a positive, supportive environment. ESPs are equal and essential partners in the education process. I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of our ESPs for the job that they do day in and day out. The kitchen staff that serves healthy food every day. Sometimes it is the only meal that our children get. The maintenance staff that makes sure that we have lights and a clear path to heat and heat in our rooms. To the monitors that make sure our students have a playground to let off their energy, for providing a shoulder to cry on or a hand to be held, tying their shoes, zipping their coats, or even wiping their noses. A thank you to our paraeducators. You read for the children, you spell for them, you help them with their homework, feed them your lunch, and give up your time. The secretaries, you are a group all on your own, and we all know that you really run the show. You are the boss that keeps us going. You meet and greet, call for maintenance, and when needed, for a custodian, for someone that gets sick in the classroom or the office. You make sure we have our timesheets on time so that we get paid. Besides believing in what you do for each and every student, you empower them. You empower them to be who they are. But who empowers you, the ESP? Who believes in you? I do, as the president of the Classified Employees Association. I believe in you, and so do many others. Every day we get up and go to work, and we do everything that we can to make sure every child we see gets our attention, our undivided attention, and that we empower them to do their best. We are the educational support professionals, and we are professionals. We are trusted with making sure that the children that pass through the doors are ready for the world and what it might bring. And we have love, and we love what we do because we know that every day we make a difference in a child's life. Not everyone could do the job that we do. Not everyone has the love of educating children, the desire to make the difference in their lives. That is what makes being an ESP so special. It also makes me proud to be the president of one of the best ESP staffs in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other folks that would like to come and speak before the board on non-agenda items? Seeing none, this takes us down to item 5, Borough and City Reports. Superintendent Palmer, are there any borough or city reports?
Yes, Mr. President. The Wasilla manager, Mr. Bert Cottle.
Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Okay, my name is Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I just want to give you a library update for anybody who didn't listen to the Borough Assembly meeting last night. Resolution number 11-151 passed the Matsu Borough last night with an amendment made. The amendment basically said, anywhere where it said deeded, also add the words or lease. So amendment was made by one of the assembly members. If anybody wants to know later, I'll give you the lowdown. But to actually have us lease the land. It failed, but the second amendment to come back said to add or lease. And there, on the first amendment, there was a whole bunch of, a page and a half of attachments to it. Well, that didn't pass, but the or lease was added in. So what's going to happen now is a borough manager, Moosey, has been given direction to work with the city of Wasilla and try to come back with some kind of a go-forward action from here so we can start the process to get the land for the library. In our research today, grants and the city funding of the library itself would be in jeopardy if we ended up in a lease. It just doesn't work. So we hope we can work through this and I'll keep you appraised of where we're at. But right now, the words or lease has been added, so we'll have to see where that goes. So if anybody would like additional information, contact us, or you can contact your assembly person. But we're still in the running, so we'll just have to work through this. Our next meeting is in December with them, so we'll have something worked out by December. So thank you.
Thank you. Six is down to item six, administrative reports. Superintendent Perromo.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the board meeting on November 2nd, a request was made to provide a brief update on the budget and calendar for FY13. At this time, our chief business official, Mr. Forrest, will provide that update. He did have an attachment that was placed at our places prior to the meeting.
Good evening. This evening, you have before you. This evening.
This evening, you have before you a couple of documents. You have your before you a proposed sample questions for the budget survey that we would place on the web, as we did last year, and also utilize in the in-person as we make visitations and collect community input as part of the budget process. That's the first page of the packet. They are similar to the questions we had last year, updated to reflect the current year priorities. The next page is the a listing of the calendar that we would use to develop the budget. As you can see, some of the dates have already passed, and as we move through this, you can see that we'll follow a similar schedule to what we did last year. I would point to the middle of the page and the blue date starting with February 6th. We'll have a community open house at the administration building. On February 7th, we'll have one at Sioux Valley. On February 8th, we'll have one at Birch Tree Charter School. And at February 9th, we'll have one out at Kinnick Elementary School. So the effort is to once again try and get around the district to offer people the opportunity to comment on the budget. We go through and we end the process much as we did last year. We would present to the school board a preliminary budget on the 6th, basically, or the 16th of May. We would look to provide budget adoption on June 6th. We would present to the Borough Assembly on the 12th. Meeting the deadline, and then submitting it to the state. In addition to that, you'll notice that we do have down here the requirement to submit by April 1st, and we would submit the budget not later than March 31st, the preliminary budget to the borough. Behind this listing of dates, we provide the calendar in the standard calendar format. Any questions?
I'm sure there's going to be plenty. No questions at this point. Thank you. So this will take us down to item seven, which is superintendent update, student advisory board report. Could we start today with our student advisory board? And today we have member Kendra McPhail in place of Delaney Mitchell.
I At our meeting today at Houston High School, November 16th, we discussed the following. The Homeless Project, and we had Michelle Overstreet come to our SAB meeting. She talked about the homeless students in our district and how we want to help them as Student Advisory Board by bringing in food cards from, like, Taco Bell, Starbucks, Subway, things like that. And just the things that they may need for the homeless teens in our district. So we want to, as Student Advisory Board, uphold that and get that going. Student Advisory Board also wants to make personal finance and economics as a required course. For high school issues, the bus waivers for Sioux Valley, Wasilla High School would like to establish some branch of JROTC with, like, leadership skills, kind of like what Colony High School has. We also discussed leadership conference, and we are sticking to our timeline, and so we are right on schedule. And our next meeting is December 7th at Colony Middle School. The executive board went to the OSOP conference, and while we were there, Rachel's Challenge was there, and they had five main goals. And the first one was write down your ethics and your morals. The second one was choose positive influences. And the third one was treat others the way you want to be treated. And the fourth one was dream big. And the last one was thank someone who has truly inspired you. So I would like to call up Carly Colgan, the president, to help me present Dr. Promo with the gift.
It is not every day that you get to be around someone who truly inspires you, someone who holds the leadership qualities that you feel are most important. We feel that you, Dr. Promo, truly inspire us. Your style, charisma, and hard work determine you as a leader. You're a visionary leader that has a plan on how to make a difference and is confident in that vision. Around you, there's no more a status quo, but your level of experience for yourself and the school district mandates the acceptance of only one's best effort. We feel that you have been influential to many young people, such as ourselves, with your strategic and intuitive plans that focus on achieving the end goal. It is these plans that affect the lives of our generation. As a parent, teacher, and professional, you have been able to see all sides of the equation. It is by design that you have given us a voice. It is by decision that you have given us a voice in future education by incorporating our views and opinions. Even today, you are still dedicated to teaching and learning something new every day. As a leader, you have exceeded the standard expectations of superintendent and reached out to everyone on a personal level.
Throughout the years that we have known you, we have come to the conclusion that you have many attributes that we wish to emulate. Among these, your strong interpersonal skills, your ability to reach out and effectively communicate with all types and groups of people is admirable. Your ability to maintain your poise and focus on positive solutions during difficult conversations inspires us to also strive to make a positive difference in our world around. And finally, your ability to relate to everyone, not only professionally, but in a less formal setting, adds an element of humanity that helps make those around you comfortable, ensuring an easing of tension in difficult situations. We recognize the trying situation that found you replacing Dr. Burnley as superintendent, and feel that you have masterfully transitioned the district to your vision while keeping the best components of Dr. Burnley's. Finally, we wanted to acknowledge our appreciation for focusing the district's attention and efforts on preparing us for the real world. After we graduate from high school, we have grown immensely and know that there are no limits to our abilities in achieving our dreams. Thank you, Dr. Promo, for inspiring us to achieve greatness.
Wow, thank you. That's a nice surprise. It didn't have to do anything with that dance, did it?
Thank you. Congratulations, Dr. Perama.
Thank you.
Dr. Perama.
Oh. I was just thinking about how wonderful that was. Thank you again. Okay, for the superintendent's update, I have a few items to mention, just happenings in the district. Please know that today, this evening, as well as tomorrow, Colony High School is going to be featured in two news articles. In conjunction with the Alaska State Troopers, they did a simulation for driving while texting. And they filmed that and probably will make a public service announcement in regard to that. And then tomorrow, they're going to highlight some members of the Colony High School band, for they will be marching in the Macy's Day Parade. So thanks to the efforts at Colony High School. In addition, I'd like to make a big announcement for the goal for financial literacy in Mat-Su schools. It's apropos that Principal Kelly is here because it occurred at her school, Goose Bay. Our youngest children, K-2, all about 450 of them, 2 days ago, received training in junior achievement and financial literacy. And if we don't believe that you can't start too young, you really can't start too young. The 28 professionals from around our community volunteered a day of their time to teach these young kids in conjunction with their teachers. And they talked about money and let's buy a present. They discussed needs versus wants. They discussed funding, what goes into a community. And they were even provided banks to start saving. And as the students left that day, I did ask them, are you going to spend your money or save your money? And I would say about 95% of them said definitely save. So it was a great adventure for our school district as well as the Junior Achievement Organization, and we certainly thank them. Finally, I'd like to share some information on the recent bond of October 2011. Before you, you have two very large spreadsheets, and the first one is labeled 2011 Bond Priority Cash Flow Listing by Location. Please know that this is an attempt at pre-scheduling the release of the bond funding for particular projects. Mr. Forrest and myself are working with Sean O'Neill at the borough, as well as Mr. Moosey, the manager, to discuss whom will manage each project. You look the column next to project description, the to be determined. Mat-Su Borough School District can certainly pick up some of those smaller bond items, such as the playgrounds at the schools, the lighting upgrades. We want to work with each community to add value where they would like for the bond money that has choice for physical fitness activities. This will also demonstrate the priority list of projects for the large schools and fields. So there's six schools, and the other large projects would be the fields. Those will all be managed by the borough. So if you need any further information, please, you're able to contact Mr. Forrest. The top three at this point is acquiring the new middle high school down Kinnick. The second is Valley Pathways, and third is Mat-Su Day School. Two of those three projects, the land has already been procured. The second spreadsheet that has the light colors of blue and pink actually demonstrates all the projects that are concurrently going on. The items in pink are the legislative grants that fell outside of this bond. On page 3,
The chart is in white, and that is essentially, you can replace it with this other large one. That's the current bond. However, I just wanted to demonstrate how many small projects and large are really in partnership with the borough and the district at this time. So it's plenty to look at. I know it's quite a bit, but it gives you the type, the funding source, the location of the project. Some of them are as small as $5,000 and as large as $65 million. Again, this is a plan for 5 years, as when we went to the voters, it was with a promise that Matsubara School District would not request from the borough a bond for the next 5 years. We are awaiting approval from the manager. Once we have that, we will finalize this list. And finally, I just wanted to second what Lori Miner said about National Support Professionals Day. It is National Education Week, and Friday is National Principals Day. So different members of our educational community are highlighted each day, including parents and community. That's tomorrow. So we just thank all those that make the education of our young folks happen. Thank you.
Any questions for members of the board? Thank you. This takes us down to item 8, which is our consent agenda. We have A, minutes November 2nd, 2011, B, 12-052 high school graduation qualifying exam waivers, and C, 12-053 recommendation for certified new hires. Is there a motion to move this consent agenda?
I make a motion that we move this agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Welton. Is there any opposition? Question?
Yeah, I'd like to pull C, 12-053 recommendation for certified new hires.
Are there any requests to pull any items? So we have a motion to move the consent agenda minus item C. Is there any opposition? Okay. Items A and B pass. Item C is up for discussion. Member Larson.
Just a quick question on the second person. He will be served as what kind of a teacher? I'm unfamiliar with that, and that's the question I have.
He's a certified preschool teacher.
But that's not what it says. What's the... he will serve as...
Oh, it's the non-walk... It's a non-walk grant, which is a preschool grant for our Alaska Native children, but the location of the preschool is at Wasilla High School.
So the... ANWR is the grant.
The non-walk is a grant.
The non-walk is a grant. Okay, that's what I didn't understand. Thank you.
Any other questions regarding item C? Is there a motion to move item C?
I make a motion to move item C.
Second.
Motion made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Larson. Is there any opposition to moving item C? Seeing none, item C passes. This takes us down to item 9, our action items. A, 12-044, course approval, Japanese 5. Is there a motion to move this item?
I make a motion that we move 12-044, Japanese.
I'll second.
Motion moved by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Pauger. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
No, Mr. President, and just to note that A through E are all new course approvals, and administration will not have a report unless requested to do so for any of these items.
Okay, are there any questions from members of the board for staff on item A? Any comments from members of the board? Seeing none, there's a motion on the floor for item A, 12044, course approval, Japanese 5. At this point, we'll vote. Okay, let's do a voice vote. Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Pauger?
Yes.
I too vote yes. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item B. 12-045, course approval, outdoor powered equipment. Is there a motion to move this item?
I make a motion that we move 12-045, outdoor powered equipment training.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion moved by Member Lacey, second by Member Pauger. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report? Once again, you've made that clear. Sorry. Are there any questions for members of the board for staff? Member Gaddis.
Yeah, I do. In regards to small engine repair, quite frankly, I have some small engines that need to be repaired, but that's not the reason I'm saying. What I'm looking at is, do we have any hand-holding arrangements that we plan to have with these kids, maybe interning? I mean, there's a lot of need out there, and that was my point to bring it out, to have small engine repair, and if we could handhold with our business or community intern, I really think this is a great program for kids not only to get that experience. So I would recommend that we kind of do an outreach out there because there's definitely a need.
There's a question that was embedded in there, I think.
Yeah, and the question is, I guess, can we go do that? Can we outreach to our businesses and see if our kids can get some internship type jobs with our small, with the snow machine shops, with the boat repair shops, that type of thing.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Our kids are involved with volunteer work. However, they, due to insurance reasons from those machine shops, they cannot charge people and have students fix their machines due to insurance purposes. So our kids can volunteer, they can shadow, they can work with them, but our kids do not have the certificates as of yet. So when I talked to Mr. DePriest about this earlier, we do partner as much as we can. However, because the actual businesses can't literally have the kids just fixing it, but they do shadow and do things like that. And it would be a large liability on our district if the kids were solely responsible to fix things that people drive.
Thank you. Any other questions for members of the board? Seeing none, let's vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. Member Cordero is absent. This takes us down to item C, 12-046, course approval, private pilot ground school. Is there a motion to move this item?
I'd like to move 12-046, private pilot ground school.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion moved by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Larson. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none. Are there any questions for members of the board for staff? Seeing none. Are there any comments for members of the board? Seeing none, let's vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item D, 12-047, course approval, aviation technology. Is there a motion to move this item?
I'd like to move 12-047, aviation technology.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion moved by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Welton. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, are there any questions from members of the board for staff? Seeing none, are there any comments from members of the board? Seeing none, let's vote. Motion is unanimous, or item passes, it's unanimous. This takes us down to item E, 12-048, course approval, occupational safety, health, and environmental awareness. Is there a motion to move this item?
I'd like to move 12-048, occupational safety, health, and environmental awareness.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion moved by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Larson. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, are there any questions for members of the board for staff? Seeing none, are there any comments from members of the board? Member Lacey?
I would like to know if we have a OSHA risk management safety person on our payroll. Because if we're going to be teaching it to our students, we should be leading the pack with. I don't know if we do or not.
Superintendent Roma?
At this point in time, we do not. We do participate in OSHA training and have our current certificates, but an actual trainer on the payroll, no, we do not.
Yes. But do we have a risk manager slash safety person that goes around and inspects our schools and our workplace and things of that nature.
Mr. Forrest.
We utilize the OSHA state inspector. We're in a partnership with that inspector, and we ask for and receive the voluntary inspections. So we actually receive the inspections from the state OSHA inspector, and then because it is voluntary, we are allowed to make the necessary adjustments to come into compliance.
In the interest of saving time for something else, I would like to bring this up at a later meeting as the whole spiel.
The concept of the inspector.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Member Larson.
Thank you. I was at the same time bring up who teaches a course. And who teaches our staff where they get the training? That kind of thing.
Do you want to ask that question now for staff?
The actual OSHA has planned professional development that we purchase. So it actually is booklets, online videos, and sometimes guest speakers in person. But we actually do pay for that service in contracts, but we do not have a certified trainer on the payroll.
Member Lacey, you may want to reference this in future items at the end of the meeting. Okay. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, let's vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item F, 12-061, Academy Charter School Calendar Amendment. Is there a motion to move this item?
I'd like to move 12-061, Academy Charter School Calendar Amendment.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion moved by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Pollager. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, are there any questions for members of the board? Excuse me. Is there a staff report?
Mr. President, I just wanted to comment that I regret that it did not come to the board in a timely manner. The explanation on the item is present. If you have any questions, I'd certainly be able to answer any.
Any questions of staff by members of the board? Seeing none, are there any comments of staff? Seeing none, let's vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item 10, non-action items. This is a non-voting section of the meeting. A, 12-054, first reading, BP 3523, employee use of direct technology. Staff report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm actually going to reference A through E, which are all new board policy. As you know, our world, if you will, is turning more electronic, and we have had, we are held to professional practices, which are outlined in the PTPC. We are also held to professional contracts in which our employees sign for acceptable use. The BP is new in that it is turning into board policy, those items and those assurances that employees will use, have an appropriate use of technology. F and G are in relation to students, and we're just updating the student policy that we already have. So this is, if you will, breaking ground, and I would request Mr. Gene Stone and our CIO, Mr. Justin Michaud, our Chief Information Officer, to be present for any questioning. You won't find board policy in many places, in many states, or many districts. However, this is something that we feel very strongly about as we are upgrading our infrastructure. The world around us, the education, the communication, we just wanted to be sure that our policy keeps up with our actions. So at this time, Mr. Michaud, if you could come to the table, and I won't have any other comments, A through E, or really F and G, other than what is requested in questioning. Thank you.
Are there any questions from members of the board for staff on item A? Member Larson.
Is there an existing policy on internet usage, is there not, right now? So this is a replacement for that?
We do have internet safety and use for children, but not for adults. This is breaking ground, actually.
So, like school email, we have like school email. You can't politic on it. You can't do that. Does this replace that policy?
Correct. This replaces the use form that we sign. We sign an agreement when we give access to a computer to adults. We have them sign an assurance that they will use it appropriately.
Well,
this is now putting in policy.
B is that signature form, right?
Correct.
And A is the policy, is that
correct? Correct. A is the first part, and then B addresses the actual form that we call the network user agreement right now. This item B addresses a little more to what we do now.
B is what will be given to all employees.
Correct.
That's the policy. That's in the policy.
Which correct.
A, B, A.
Correct. A comes first, and B follows up after that.
Under what criteria did you base this policy on?
Well, we worked with somebody to help us draft these policies. We looked at current practice, what we were doing, and looked at across the nation what was being done. We drafted these based on that. The key thing is we got input from everybody had the opportunity to give input, worked closely with Gene Stone and instruction, and we went through these, and everybody's administration recommends that these move forward.
I might add that, as Dr. Paramo has indicated, this is breaking ground. You will not find many policies at this level. The series of policies being presented tonight are new policies. We've had procedures and operational controls in place along with ARs, administrative regulations, but we've not had board policies. So we've elevated it to the board policy level. In addition to that, we did utilize someone who specializes in doing technical documentation who did, Justin has indicated, an exhaustive search in an effort to look at have other states' school board associations implemented any policies like this. The Alaska School Board Association does not currently have a sample policy in these areas. So we went outside and looked at what we could find nationwide to present this.
Member Larson.
Since this is new ground, are you confident that it'll pass the legal criteria?
Correct. It does. You know, there's a few key things. You know, for the staff, there are a few things. We got to protect the students. The basis of this is we're creating the infrastructure to help instruction legally. You know, everything there. If you look at the references, it does cite some of those legal references for those items. So, you know, this is. It's legal, you know, talking about email retention and the ability to review that at any time.
Member Lacey.
Yes, I didn't see anything in here about campaigning on school time.
In item A, it doesn't discuss that. Item B is where it talks about appropriate use of the email system.
Okay, where is that?
I just read it earlier. Give
on page one, it talks about appropriate use.
Yeah. Okay.
Next step.
Keep pulling that sin.
Katie Gardner, HR, just informed me there is actually a separate policy for that as well.
Can we include that in this one?
We could reference it. We could update that.
That'll do. Other questions? I have a question. What will these policies do that PTCP, negotiated agreement, and state and federal law, as well as your agreements with, I am having a brain freeze tonight, the internet grant that we get, what will this do that they won't do, or they don't do?
Well,
because your negotiated agreement governs your employee-worker relationship. Your PTPC governs behavior within the profession. Your grants
that you get from the feds also stipulate. So what will this do that they already don't do?
What these policies do, this series of policies put in both board policy, administrative regulations, and operational procedures, it puts in one place readily accessible to all employees the operational standards of conduct, which the district is now moving to. The difference is, as we've indicated, a lot of those agreements are old, and they did not cover things like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. So these have been updated to include the latest social networking media that is currently in use. This is all being done prior to beginning to open up the filter for staff members first, so that we know that when we open that filter and we turn on the wireless communications throughout the district, that everyone understands it's still a K-12 institution. There are still rules and requirements you must follow. It's not Starbucks. There are still guidelines which must be followed. So this puts it all in one place, makes it easy for the employees to take a look at. When we say sign the agreement, it is our intention to have that electronic so that people will do that electronically. And then it allows them one easy point of reference. So they don't have to go search. It's there for people to see and to review.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? So this will come up to us in a vote at our next meeting. Do you have a question on this particular?
I may come back to this as we go through the rest of it. Because it's all intertwined. Yeah.
Okay.
So I may come back to A and B.
Okay. So that's A. This takes us down to B now. So I guess we slightly shift a little bit. It's 12-055, first reading, BP 3523-E, employee terms and conditions. Just want to give a brief background on this particular item.
Well, this, like I said earlier, this is going to replace what we currently call the network user agreement, which is a shift in wording. It's the responsible use agreement. Just employees have the responsibility to kind of, you know, use the network technology appropriately. The big thing of this is, you know, there's the technology side, but there's also the instructional side. You know, we're going to support the technology to make sure they can do these things, and then instructionally they'll make sure that they're doing things that support education for the students. So, you know, this is to put that structure in place so we can support education.
Questions of staff and board members on this item? Okay, we're going to slide down to C, which is 12-056, first reading, BP 3523.1, blogging. Question: do you want to wait, or do you want to do it now, or before the report, or it's up to you? Member Larson?
Yes, I would.
Member Larson?
I guess to show my technology expertise, I absolutely do not understand anything
of
this.
Well, to put it simply, blogging is basically electronic journaling, where people can journal about anything online, where others can see it, and in some cases they can respond electronically as well.
Who's going to respond? And who's going to
In this case, this governs, you know, staff. This kind of gives guidelines as to what staff should or should not be doing based on behalf of the district. Respondents could be anywhere, anyone in the public, if it's set up in that fashion.
So our staff in their classroom computer will be able to set up a blog and have people from anywhere.
If it's got educational reason and purpose and it's approved by their supervisor, yes, they'd be able to do that. But they've got to follow the guidelines. You know, they can't be saying anything they want. It's got to have educational purpose, and that's where the instructional piece comes in.
And actually, a lot of our instruction is actually set up with that format now. And as we move into the future, more and more that will be an actual electronic format where there's a blog, in essence, that's happening between instructor, students, other students. And so, you know, again, working with IT, it doesn't mean that if you look at the district blog content and you look through those items, it's pretty specific in terms of what will be allowable, what would be acceptable. It's really got to be within the realm of instruction and being having an educational value.
Can I follow up with one more question?
Member Larson and Member McPhail.
Could you give me an example of an educational blog and how it would be used in instruction?
Sure. Let's say, as an example, you could set up a blog. A teacher could set up a blog, like with our science, technology, engineering, and math program. There's maybe somebody's doing some kind of a water quality project, and so there's an opportunity from agencies outside. There could even be opportunities from kids doing a similar project in another state, and then they could interact electronically and talk about some of the data and their findings. They could, you know, certainly make a compare and contrast, you know, the different environments. And so those kinds of blogging opportunities are what we're really looking for so that they're educational. It's just a way for us to really expand educational opportunities for our kids.
Member McPhail.
One of my questions was brought up by another student was they were talking about blogging and how cyberbullying can come into effect. So either inside or outside of school, if you were like talking about another student or cyberbullying, for instance, how could administration or staff come into play in you getting in trouble or consequences coming to you?
Well, that is a very good question. If you actually look at the references, we actually have an actual board policy 5145 on anti-bullying and anti-cyberbullying, which I believe was added last year, but it addresses concerns like those and how to discipline, and I believe Mr. Stone has more detail on that.
Yeah. There doesn't mean that we won't have filters. It doesn't mean that we won't have eyes on these kinds of things. And there is policy to address that there would be sanctions for those kinds of things. Also, we have kids that bring in their own devices right into the school as it is. So we'll have much more control using school devices than as opposed to people that are going to bring in their own devices.
Member Larson.
So when a teacher says that, and somebody blogs in, are those going to be anonymous blogs that come in, or how are you going to stop that from occurring?
No. Like I said, the parameters that are set on those are they'll be teacher controlled, and they won't be people won't be able to be anonymous. They actually can just set the parameters for their actual classroom, so just not anybody from across the country. There would have to be permissions granted for someone to come into that environment.
Just to add, depending on what device you're using for blogging, there's many different avenues to do that. A lot of them need approval before they're actually viewed by others. So the teacher's having to go through and approve it's actually posted before it. So if it's inappropriate, they would just delete it.
Any other questions of staff?
Because the board has passed a tech plan that includes bring your own technology, we currently are investigating prior to opening this up all the way to students. There is a hardware-software combination which allows you to shut off certain devices universally. And that we're currently investigating that. So if I wanted to shut off all iPhones in the building, I could shut all iPhones off,
including
all iPads, et cetera.
Yeah. And just to add, the Internet airway will be opened up to staff with these assurances and policy with an agreement. But E-Rate doesn't allow open access without filters for children. So children will never, in school, be able to access freely and openly because of the E-Rate. There are certain laws put into place in which we cannot do that. And so the open free access is only for employees. The students will have the same access on their own device that they currently have in the computer labs in the schools.
Member Lacey.
Do we have a Craigslist filter in our firewall?
I can't recall right now, but I believe it is currently blocked for staff.
Okay. both staff and students?
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you.
And just add, students are more restrictive, like just explained.
Any other questions of staff on this particular item? So this will come next week, or excuse me, at the next board meeting. This takes us down to item D, 12-057, first reading, BP 3523.2, social media use. Dr. Parama.
There's any questions? This one is a large item because we do have Facebook, Twitter, things like that. However, one of the programs that we're purchasing is called Edmodo, which creates a Facebook-like environment in which teachers can create the blogs, create the online, students can create a Edmodo page, if you will, similar to a Facebook page, so it's private and protected, but technology is used in understanding the platform of social media so that we can also teach the safety that we would need to ensure student success and use of those types of social media.
And it's free.
It's free.
Questions of staff? Monroe Larson.
I don't know.
Like in general?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you can friend somebody, you can unfriend someone. Yes, that's all possible.
So why would we want this in our school system?
Right now we have many schools that do have a Facebook account, and that is how... Mm-hmm. And that's how they communicate. This is, again, just outlining the use of those type social media in appropriate formats. The communication style is through social media. And to keep up with the times, we need to be able to communicate with the larger country, state. However, we just need to be sure that we have the guidelines. Like Mr. Forrest said, that if I have a question about can I do something or not, I can go to it. I know. Also, when there's a policy, not only PTPC that was referenced, there are consequences for ill use of it, or misuse, rather.
Is there going to be a cyber cop out there, or what?
We currently do this. This is our job today. We do this now, even without the policy.
Member Gaddis.
Board Member Larson, I took a group of Colony High students where we had less than a month to train to go to Washington, D.C. and march in the last inaugural parade. When I asked the 55 students, how can I best get a hold of you? It was during the Christmas time and whatever. They said Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I took those items with their parents' emails as well, and I'm telling you what, we were able to gather everybody for I mean, that's the way that kids communicate. And if you want to get everybody, phone calling was not the answer. Those kids are not at phones. So I understand the need to... you know, I to use Facebook, I will tell you that I looked up and I saw that Wasilla High School has four or five different Facebooks that the high school uses or the booster clubs use. I noticed Colony High does. And so that's how they get their information out. I mean, I know it's new to us, yeah. But, I mean, it works.
It's a hybrid email. It's kind of like going from the dial phone to, going to a push button.
Member Larson.
Yeah. I realize I'm still got a dial phone. That's why I want to keep up on this stuff.
Yeah.
I will be coming in and probably asking more questions. I asked some family members and they gave up on me. So I'll probably come in and take a look at it.
Yeah.
I still have a dial. It's great.
Thank you. Any other questions of staff? This will come back to us at our next meeting. This takes us down to item E, 12-05, first reading, BP 441.9.5, electronic communication between employee and students. Dr. Paramo.
this one might seem a bit tricky, but if you can just relate this to appropriate relationships and communications that happen without a cell phone or without texting, it is very similar to the behavioral expectations of staff in relation to just the use of this type of communication. It is appropriate for a coach or a band director to text students about the practice time. It would be inappropriate for a coach or someone else to text students in the evening about, hey, what are you doing right now? The same thing would have been true for a phone call. Just so the expectation of adult behavior remains similar. We're just addressing that mode of that communication. The difference between appropriate communication and inappropriate communication.
Member Larson.
I had to read through this numerous times. It says, not accept students as friends, discipline, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. When my wife and I had our three kids in school, she worked for the school district, and we got our kids' friends over at the house. We got them calling. We were very active in the community and other activities where kids that were in their schools would get a hold of us and talk to us. I see nothing in this policy for a teacher that's very active in the community and other areas with students that are in her school or his school, since we're going through the social media way, getting a hold of them on Facebook or Twitter. I see no disclaimer for relatives, for nephews and nieces, for a school employee or even their kids. I see a strict policy saying that if anybody in that school gets a hold of you, you could be disciplined. So I don't see any disclaimer for relatives or a very active teacher in the community.
I do know that within there we tried to relate it to other policy that would be appropriate, similar to being in a room with a student, a teacher and a student, that those are some situations that we would want to stay away from. The example this evening, it would be inappropriate for me. I knew some of the honorees today, and so they are friends of my children. So I did offer a hug to those kids, which would be very different than me hugging all children. So I understand your concern, and I think we can address that within the policy. It's basically behavior that if the only reason I had contact with that child socially is by being their teacher, that would be inappropriate. So we don't want to use the professional relationship of simply the teacher for non-instructional reasons to address children. And that is the code of ethics currently in the PTPC as well. But we can outline that a little better to be sure that that is different than a personal relationship that is established through familiar instances.
And I understand where it's coming from, and that's, I'd like to see that so it's pretty clear. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff for this item? Seeing none, this will come back to us again at the next meeting. This takes us down to F, 12-059, first reading, BP 6161.4, student use of district information technology. Dr. Paramo.
These are simply updates to keep up with the time. These are already signature sheets that we currently have in policy. Again, it's similar to A and B, but it's for students, so it's F and G. G is the actual form that they sign.
So F and G go together. Are there any questions of members, of the staff, members of the board on this item? Again, this item will come up at our next board meeting. Thank you. And G, 12-060, first reading, BP 6161.4S, student terms and conditions, same thing. Any questions of staff on this item? This will come up at our next board meeting. Thank you. This takes us down to item 11, future items, future business. We have a meeting on December 7th, 6 p.m., regular school board meeting at Palmer High. December 13th, 6 p.m., joint assembly board meeting will be here at Palmer High, not in the assembly, will be here. Member Lacey?
Yes, I would like to bring up about the OSHA, our risk manager position, for later meeting.
Any other members of the board with future items? Member Larson?
Yeah, we were supposed to have a school site selection committee on the 17th tomorrow, but it was canceled for a future date, and it's unknown right now when that date will be.
Member Walton?
The Joint Assembly Committee is meeting on the December 1st at 1 p.m. at district offices.
Just a question for members of the board. We've got some information tonight on bonding and on budgets. We have this information. It's fresh now. Do you feel that you would want to have a short work session attached to the next meeting if there's any questions, if you go through this between now and then? Because there will be questions. These items are of large magnitude for what we do. So I would suggest that we have a work session. I would plan on an hour, and I'm sure we'll have others as we go through this spring, but I think it's better we get a jump on this for bonds and for the budget. Just questions that we can go through and look at these papers and just ask of staff. Any other future items at this point? Member Welton?
Not a future item. I can save it for later.
Okay, this takes us down to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. This is our last segment on this, but once again, the speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room clear if necessary. It's not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement, maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Are there any members of the public that have signed up? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak at this time on non-agenda items? Seeing none, this takes us down to item 8, correspondence, board committee reports. Do we have any board committee reports at this time? Do we have any correspondence?
Did Member Walton want to talk about AASB at this time?
Several of us went to AASB, and I was just going to put that under my school board comments, but I had Stacy distribute my report. Just wanted to let you know that I had a really good time. I especially enjoyed the round table with the students, and I gave you some of the comments and everything. I think that part of the issues that we face, and I know that President Dunleavy has brought this up before, is that what are we doing to keep kids in school? Make them want to be there instead of make them feel like they're in prison. And I think we heard some interesting comments. One particular student was from a school district that was a large district, but I'm not going to identify it. But she said that she had been in a school where they actually told her to quit. The teacher just said, "Why don't you just quit?" What a way to encourage people. I hope we never, ever have teachers that would do that. I hope that we would have teachers who would bend over backwards to find the way to make it so that that child succeeds, whether it's go to a different school, but not quit. That's just something that I think is totally unacceptable, and I hope that we never see that. Thank you.
Any other correspondence or committee reports? Seeing none, this takes us down to comments from school board and administration. We'll start with administration. Dr. Palma.
Mr. Forrest. Mr. Stone?
No.
I don't have any other comments either. Thank you.
Member McPhail?
Thank you for sending the Student Advisory Board, Executive Board, to OSOB.
Thank you. Member Larson?
No, thank you.
Member Gaddis?
No, no comment.
Member Pauger?
I just wanted to say we enjoyed having our students at ASA. They represented our school district well, as did a presentation by Dina and the two assistant superintendents made. They really represented and presented our school district well.
Member Lacey.
Yes, I was just looking at the this nutrition services survey that we had. And I think this is a good step in the right direction for making sure our students have food that, one, they want to eat. And I would like to explore later on about why we got rid of the hometown the homeschool cafeteria, as opposed to trucking our food around. Because some of these things that the students said, I agree with them. I ate this lunch for 15 years, and my doctor told me that I needed to quit, or I was going to die of a heart attack from the grease. So I think we can work towards something better.
Thank you, Member Lacey. Member Welton?
I have a few items here. First, about the cyberbullying, I wanted to say I'm teaching at Messick College, and this week we had a discussion in one of my classes about cyberbullying and adolescence, and it seems to be very pervasive, and that people are afraid to even tell others that they are being bullied, and there's it's out there. We need to be aware of it. I have some concerns over all of the technology policies, because I feel that we're making it so that anyone who doesn't have technology is going to be completely left out. And that bothers me, that we are putting such emphasis. I know that we need to, but there's still a few people out there that don't have, and our students may not have access. They'll have access in the schools, but I'm talking about having Twitter and having, Facebook, and even just having a cell phone. It seems unreal. I know there's 6-year-olds carrying around cell phones, but there are also a whole lot of people that don't have it still, and unless I'm totally mistaken on that. I think we're setting up some kids for feeling like they can't belong. Couple of other comments. I was at the Justice Coalition meeting, and yes, it still exists, folks. Third Wednesday of the month, and assistant or director of education, LeBron McPhail, was there this morning, along with people from the tobacco prevention Matsu district person and the nurse from Burchell. We had discussions with other agencies and stuff about the homeless situation and about different activities for youth. And I encourage anybody who is interested in activities for youth to come to those meetings. It's the third Wednesday of the month, 7:30 in the morning at the Windbreak. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say this is one of the most enjoyable meetings I've had. We have a future Olympian. We have an individual that saved the life of another human being. We've had scholarship winners. We've had multiple cheerleading clubs do fantastic. I mean, it was just this was hard to top. And so I want to once again congratulate everyone involved in all those positive experiences and for sharing that with the board. I think it's just terrific, and it demonstrates that we do have a school district full of students who have a lot going for them. And so it kind of helps us. I mean, as you can see, a lot of the stuff that we go through is a lot of business items and so forth, but to have you come here tonight and share with us your accomplishments, it's just was terrific. And so I want to thank you again on behalf of the board as well. At this point, we have no need for the executive session. And so is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Motion made by Member Lacey. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Member Pollager. And if there's no opposition, this meeting is over. Thank you very much for coming.